Good morning. It certainly is a pleasure and a privilege to be here with you again this morning. I think it was a couple of years ago that we were here, and I suppose you could say this is the second sermon in the series that was begun 2 years ago. Last time we were here, we preached on Philippians 1, the first 11 verses, so we're going to continue the series here. Another 5 years, we might get through it. I remember studying here several passages. I think Steve took us through Ephesians in about 5 years once. Before we get into our message this morning, I just share with you a little bit. Steve mentioned we are at the Central American Theological Seminary in Guatemala City and serving with Camino Global, formerly known as CAM International, and if you would like, we have some information in the back. Some of it's already there, but we have some information on the Central American Theological Seminary, CETECA, in the Spanish acronym. A little bit more about what we do. I am in charge of the overseeing the online programs at the seminary, and a little bit more about that later, and then we have a little bit of information about us, and a fresh prayer card if you need one. That's, you know, the magnets ruined the picture and all that on your refrigerator, so we have that. We read this morning a little bit Philippians chapter 1, but before we begin, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful again to you for your love for us, for your presence with us. We're thankful that we can gather together to worship you. We thank you that you have called us to be your children, that you have called us to serve you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have given to us to encourage us, to strengthen us, to help us, to guide us. And we just pray for your that we would feel your, that we would know your presence with us this morning as we look into your word, as we share together, as we encourage one another, and as we worship you. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, We have a saying, you know, an old saying. You've heard the saying, you know, if life deals you lemons, what do you do with it? Make lemonade. Don't let the struggles, the trials, the difficulties of life overcome you. It says you see the difficulties. What can you do to turn it around? We start with lemons, a seemingly negative situation. What do we do with it? Test of our faith. Illness, problems with health, financial setback that we weren't planning on, that we had no control over. It's an opportunity to trust God. Our perspective determines how we are going to respond. We want to have God's perspective on life's situations. You know, I know that most of us in this area for now don't really suffer persecution for our faith like Paul did, being in prison. But sometimes those situations come into our lives that are difficult. How do we respond to them? Well, I want to tell a little story. Paul Harvey tells a story of a young man by the name of Lou. Lou was a school teacher. He taught physical education to elementary age children, and he hated it. It didn't pay very well. He hated the job, but he also began to sell insurance. The insurance company had a deal with the school, and that gave him entree into the homes of the children, and he could sell them insurance. Well, he was a good talker, and he would usually drop into around dinner time, and he would drop in around dinner time, spend hours talking with the family, spend the evening just chatting with them, getting to know them. And even if he didn't sell them a policy that night, when they were ready to buy, they would call Lou because he was a good friend. He was part of the family, almost. He spent a lot of time with. Soon, he was making about 40 times as much selling insurance as he was teaching school. But that he could not quit the job at the school, otherwise they wouldn't allow him to sell the insurance to the parents of the children in the school. So he had to keep the school job. And soon he was making all this money, but however, it wasn't long that he developed a nodule on his vocal cords. And the doctors told him he would have to quit talking. You know, what was he going to do? He faced a dilemma. He couldn't continue to sell insurance, and he couldn't even continue teaching. Well, he had a friend who knew him well, suggested that he had a pretty decent voice, and maybe he should take up singing. Singing's not as hard on your vocal cords. I've heard this tale. I'm not a medical guy, so I'm not a medical doctor. They said singing is less stressful on your vocal cords than talking, so maybe you ought to think about singing. Well, the young teacher insurance salesman decided he'd take up singing, and he did okay. And as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story is, you know this young man, Luciano Pavarotti, one of the greatest tenors of our time. He discovered, now I'm not saying he's a Christian, but he discovered a God-given talent that he was able to use that brought joy to his life and to the lives of many, thousands of people. But it was through his trials that he discovered the gift that God had given him. And sometimes it's through those trials, through those difficult times, that we understand what God has for us. Whether it's discovering a gift of service, a talent, a faith, whether it may be discovering the strength that we have in the body of Christ to help us through those trials. There is great joy in knowing who we are and what God has called us to do. There's great joy in recognizing what God has called us to do and doing it. You know, that's really the theme, one of the themes of Philippians, and you've probably heard this before. You know, Philippians is all about joy. It's kind of the keynote to Philippians, but it's not just be joyful. It's not just we're happy all the time. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that that's only half the picture. Throughout the book of Philippians, Paul expresses the fact that Christians can experience joy even in suffering when we recognize what God has called us to do. Paul is talking about a different kind of joy. It's a joy that comes from complete dedication to the will of God, the will of Christ, that brings about a willingness even to go to the point of death for the sake of the gospel. And I'm losing the mic here. Hang on. What happens when you don't wear a tie? Got it. Okay, I think we got it now. There's joy in serving Christ, even in difficult circumstances, when we are doing what God has called us to do, even if we may suffer for it. You know, we read in the first part of Philippians, chapter 2, Paul says, I want you to know that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Paul was sitting in a prison, and that's a tough situation. But really, he's calling us here to maintain a heavenly perspective in our personal lives. This is the personal perspective. God's perspective on our lives. Paul is calling us to have a godly perspective on our personal lives. When we experience trials, difficulties, difficult situations in our lives, what is our response? You know, I know we don't have or experience severe persecution and imprisonment for our faith, but how do we respond to the trials and difficulties from living in a sin-cursed world, or, you know, even with things that are uncomfortable? The first step You know, and we all go through trials with family situations, with illnesses, and those are tough. And I'm not saying we have to be happy about those, but we can still experience the joy that God has for us, knowing that we are living the life that He has called us to live, that we are doing what God has called us to do. Now, and the first step is think about how can this advance the kingdom of God? How can my situation be a testimony to someone else? How do I respond to this situation? How do I share my burden? We are called to be disciples and to make disciples, number one. And when you go through difficulties or trials, take time to stop and ask yourself, how might this be used to advance the kingdom of God? And there are a variety of ways. And I think, and this is where the second half of this passage comes in, or the second part of this passage, in verses 14 to 19. Paul says, I know this will turn out for the greater good of the gospel. And he shares his situation and he tells it about it. This is sort of, what will this do for the kingdom of God? And this involves our perspective toward others. How can I encourage the brethren through this? And not to minimize the suffering that many are enduring in other parts of the world, we need to pray for them, especially in the East. Prison, slavery, death, martyrdom. And we need to remember to pray for these brothers and sisters. But how can we, in our situation, be an encouragement to others? You know, Paul is sitting in prison and he says, hey, don't worry about it, guys. The gospel is going forth because I'm in prison. How can my situation, the things that I face, be an encouragement to others? And it really has to do with our attitudes. How do we accept the life and the trials and situations that we face? And not to minimize some of the trials, some of us face really tough things in this life, cancer and illness and family situations. But for instance, kind of a lighthearted experience, We about a year and a half ago, we moved back to Guatemala after being gone for about 10 years, although serving at the seminary the whole time. We moved, and life changed in Guatemala over 10 years. And one of the difficulties that we had was transitioning back to Guatemala to live. We went there the first time, and we had a lot of help. This time, we did not have a lot of help, so we had to do a lot of the work ourselves in getting visas and talking and getting an attorney and getting a visa and getting a car and getting our car registered. And let me tell you, we were able to sell one of our cars here in the U.S. before we went to Guatemala, and we bought a car in Guatemala, and we thought, okay, we went through this reputable dealer, and they were going to take care of all the paperwork for us. And it turns out they came back and said, I'm sorry, we can't register your car. You have another car that has fines on it. What? I don't have another car. It's been 10 years since we've been here. We sold both of our cars. Well, it turns out we had two cars. One of them we sold to a student. One of them we sold to someone else. And there's a weird quirk in the law in Guatemala. You don't actually have to re-register a car when you buy it. You can get by not doing it. And we sold one of our cars to a gentleman who never went through the process of re-registering it in his name. And in the meantime, he got a moving violation and a parking ticket and did not pay the registration on it for a number of years. Probably the truck broke down and he just took it out of service, sold it for junk, got rid of it. I had no idea. But he didn't pay the registration on it for several years. And in Guatemala, the fines and registrations, all that stuff, don't go to the driver of the car. They stick to the car. And technically, we still owned the car. So in order to register our new car that we bought, it wasn't new, but new to us, we had to go back and pay all of the fines for this gentleman. His traffic ticket, his parking ticket, his fine. And okay, not bad. But in the midst of trying to get settled in our house, getting established at the seminary, setting up office, and continuing the work that is ongoing, we spent about a week. I spent about 4 or 5 hours over a period of about 5 or 6 days going to the tax office and getting all the paperwork, going to the photocopy office and getting a copy of my passport back to the tax office, over to the bank to pay one fine, back to the tax office, show them that I paid the fine, back to, then they get back and said, well, you have another one, you have to go to this other office. Go to the other office. Oh, in between time, another 2 or 3 copies of my passport. Back to another bank, pay the fine, back to the tax office. And I'm telling you, I'm getting pretty frustrated about now because there's work to be done. Oh, and not only that, then the next time it was, now I have to go back to the tax office, go to another police office, back to the tax office, then go to another police office. The only way I can get this car off of our record is to say that it was lost or stolen. So, car's stolen. No, it wasn't stolen. So I take it to the police office, and I'm sitting down with this police officer and tell him, well, I need to register a new car. I can't do it until I fill out this form. Says the car is lost or stolen. And he says, really? Well, when was it stolen? I said, look, when was it stolen? No, it wasn't. Well, actually, it wasn't stolen. I sold it, but it was 10 years ago. And I have no idea where it is. I don't remember who I sold it to. He says, well, I can't do this. Look, this is what I need. But you sold it. I said, I know, but it was 10 years ago. And I have no idea where it is. It's gone. But you sold it. I know, but I need to register a new car. And I can't until you stamp this paperwork and turn it in, put it on the computer. You know, I want to do this. And he says, I can't do that. He says, I have to do this. But you sold it. So I said, look, to explain to him again. I said, and you know what? I have to register this car. I can't, that means I have to pay taxes on this car that I just bought. And I can't pay the taxes until you sign off on this paper. I want to pay the taxes. I want to pay the taxes and contribute to the Guatemalan economy. Thank you, Lord. He signed off and we got our car registered. Even in the midst of those difficult situations, and it's kind of funny now, we can laugh at it now, but it wasn't funny at the time, believe me. It was frustrating. But, you know, we can look at it now and laugh, but we knew that we were in Guatemala for a purpose. And in spite of the difficulty, it's worth the effort. There's joy in serving God. There's joy in doing what God has called us to do. And yeah, I can encourage you. We did make it, and everything's fine now. Your test is also an opportunity for others to step up. You know, Paul tells us in verse 19, he says, I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, our burdens, our trials, are an opportunity for others to step up, to take part. Remember, 2 years ago, we talked about this. Fellowship. Fellowship is active participation. Fellowship, that word that we use, koinonia, is used often in a business context as a partner, someone who is actively involved. Well, this is our trials can be an opportunity for a partnership, for others in the body of Christ to step up and take part, to pray for us, to give, to help physically, to step up and to give in terms of time or talents, to pray, and to pray again. We have opportunity to share the burden and share the joy that results when we see God advancing his kingdom through us, no matter what the worldly circumstances may look like. When God calls us to do a job, there is joy in doing what God has called us to do. And I want to take a second and just give you a little bit of an idea of part of what we are involved in, what God has called us to be a part of.
I want to encourage others in ministry.
I want to see a dynamic, healthy church.
I feel called to tell Muslims about Jesus.
The community needs to be reached.
We live in a needy world, a world that needs God above all else, and that needs men and women who are prepared to communicate the Word of God.
For more than 80 years, the Central American Theological Seminary has been training godly men and women for the effective communication of the Scriptures and leadership of excellence. Since its founding in 1929, CETECA has offered programs centered in the study of God's Word. The Holy Scriptures continue to be the focus of CETECA.
The seminary has a global impact. Our students come from more than 20 countries, and our alumni are serving in 30 different nations around the world.
CETECA is preparing leaders who will not only minister all across Latin America, but who also participate in world mission outreach. We give thanks to God for our graduates who are serving in many different areas of ministry.
When I realized God could use me to help others, I decided to enroll in a master's program in counseling at CETECA. I praise the Lord because I've been able to come alongside people in their suffering as well as in their restoration.
CETECA gave us the tools we need to serve in the ministry. We thank God because the preparation we received has equipped us for leadership and for casting a vision to bring many people to Christ.
When I received my missionary call to go into the Muslim world, I knew I needed to be better equipped to work in that context. I thank God because I received the mission and the theological training I needed at CETECA in order to fulfill that call.
Classes like Christian Leadership helped me a lot. I have become a better youth pastor. Our church opened an outreach program for at-risk kids and youth, and I have the opportunity to be a chaplain in a maximum security prison.
CETECA is committed to training leaders for Latin America and beyond, men and women who will faithfully communicate God's word. We invite you to join us in this exciting ministry.
That's a little bit about the ministry of CETECA, the Central American Theological Seminary, and we are training men and women from all over the world. We have students on campus from approximately 20 countries, serving in over 30 countries throughout the world, not just the Spanish-speaking world, but throughout the world. God has called us to be there in Guatemala and be involved in the development of the online programs for CETECA. We went back to Guatemala because we have a new president that you saw, Carlos Lopez, who, by the way, was a student of mine when we were on campus, now the president of the school, wanted to expand and improve what we are doing in our online programs. We still have about 1,200 to 1,300 students on campus. We have just recently reached over 100 students in our online programs, everything from lay studies for men and women who don't qualify for college-level studies or don't have the time to pursue a formal degree. We have studies on the undergraduate level, master's level, And then on campus and online, we also have students at the doctoral level in two doctoral programs. We have, I mentioned, over 100 students from 15 different countries. We have, interestingly, some of the odd countries you might not think of, we have students or have had students in Germany, Switzerland, Australia, and we have a student who's in the master's program right now. I tell you, this is just a really odd story. Not odd, it's God does amazing things. We have a young lady who studied her bachelor's degree on campus. She is originally from Korea. She's a young Korean lady. And she did her bachelor's degree at Sateca on campus in Guatemala. And she's recently begun her master's studies online. And we, since they pay online, I see the credit card receipts, and I saw her name, and I went, well, I wonder if this is the same young lady. Yes, it is. Then I looked at her address, and I said, that's really odd. So I wrote to her and said, where in the world are you? And what are you doing? And so we have this young lady from Korea who studied in Spanish, is now in our Spanish master's program. She is discipling a group of Hispanics in Norway. We are reaching in all over the world, truly. We also have a young man who is helping us in teaching online, just started this term, helping us teach. He and his family just recently moved to plant churches in Albania. So the reach that we have is incredible. It is just amazing how far we are going. And think about us. Pray for us. This is one of our burdens. Pray for us, because we need, we need some funds at the seminary to pay for people, because we need people. I'm looking for a director, somebody also eventually that can maybe take my place. I've had three men, and some of you may have heard this story because we mentioned it in our prayer letter. We had three men. I had one gentleman that he would be a great director, somebody to take the program to the next level. And as we move on, a young Cuban gentleman had to leave the country because of corruption in the government. He discovered that he had a resident visa, he had a Guatemalan passport, and he went to renew it and discovered that it was bogus. And his only option, because of the situation in Guatemala, was to leave the country. He's now in Chile. He's still helping us, but not in the way that he could if he was on campus. We had another gentleman who was a missionary and thought he would be good. He also ended up leaving Guatemala, and I have the gentleman right now who's working as the director alongside me. At the end of this year, he and his wife are going to Spain to plant churches in Spain. So we are still looking for a director. Pray for that God would bring forth just the right person. We need somebody a techie to manage the classroom, the electronic classroom, a couple of designers that are knowledgeable in Bible, theology, ministry. Pray for us. That was the illustration for the first part of the message. The second part, Paul goes on, and a verse that is familiar, I'm sure, in Philippians chapter 1, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, joy comes from maintaining the proper perspective. Not only to live is Christ and to die is gain, but you know what? As long as Christ gives us life, as God gives us life on this earth, doing what he has called us to do, we need to keep doing it. We need to keep working. Paul says, if I stay, it means I need to keep working. We don't quit. We live for Christ, we die for Christ, we suffer for Christ, and we work for Christ. So I would like to encourage you to keep working. Keep moving ahead. We work to help others to mature. Paul says in verses 23 to 26, our job is to help others to mature in the faith, to make disciples, as Christ has commanded us in Matthew. go and make disciples. And we want to make disciples at all levels. You know, helping someone to become a disciple of Christ can start with being friends with your neighbor, a coworker, and bringing them a little bit closer to knowing Christ. And when they know Christ, helping them mature in the faith. Making disciples involves all levels of bringing people closer to Christ. And it needs to occur at all levels. And that's one of the things that we are doing. One of the things that is really exciting about the ministry that we have is that, one, we are teaching men and women who are involved in ministry at all levels. We're teaching men and women who are laymen to know more about the Word of God, to know God better, and to be able to teach others, to train others. We're teaching men and women at a little higher level, at college level. Men and women who are involved in ministry, are going to be involved in ministry, who are outreaching others. Men and women in the master's program who are teaching and training, who are pastors, missionaries, teachers in other institutions, to make disciples at all levels. And it's exciting to see the ministry that is multiplying through others that we are able to teach. And I feel like privileged to be able to give them the tools and the training that they need so that they can go out and do a job that they are better equipped to do than I am. In many cases, these men and women can go to places a lot more easily than I can. They can go to places that are difficult for North Americans to get into. And we are privileged to be a part of that. Encouraging them to grow, helping them to grow so that they can move on and help others. There is joy in fulfilling God's calling on our lives. In spite of seeming trials, difficulties that may come, God gives us joy in serving Him. Let's pray. Thanks, Father, for your love for us again, and thank you for just for being our God. Thank you for calling us into your service and allowing us to be a part of what you are doing in this world, in saving lives, in encouraging the brethren, and just building your kingdom worldwide. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to ask Alvin and Lori to go back and meet you in the narthex this morning, and I want to encourage you here. This is a we don't get golden opportunities every day of the week. You have an opportunity for your tithes and offerings to be multiplied in a way that is unusual, and I want to encourage you this morning to take the presentation that Alvin has given to us seriously. Seriously enough to make them part of your ministry work. When men and women are trained and you have helped support, they are trained in your name. You have an opportunity here to support something that is worthwhile, support something that goes past your ability to do and can reach around the world, even to places like the Netherlands. Whoa, I didn't know anybody spoke Spanish there. So consider seriously this morning the presentation you've been given. Go back and get a prayer card and get on their list, and if the Lord leads you, begin to support them in a way that can be helpful to the gospel being spread around the world. Joe, come lead us.